Ask free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. You can follow the show online, or you can contribute to the show at kpft.org. This is going to be, in my opinion, potentially an interesting episode because it's like between the hours of about 9 a.m. and noon. It's like if you haven't been keeping up with the news, it's almost going to be like the while you were sleeping episode. So we'll see how that goes. Starting off, you know I do the voting stuff. Last day to register for the general elections is October 7th. I believe we're going to be voting for mayor, city council, and some other positions. So it's not just 2020. And local government affects you more than federal or state. So I know it feels top down, but in a way it's also bottom up. So be prepared to vote in 2019's election. VoteTexas.gov, HarrisVotes.com, and Vote.org. All three of those places you can get useful information on how to register, if you're registered, if you're correctly registered. It pays to do that when there's still plenty of time. Okay, I know that in all likelihood, everybody listening knows that Jeffrey Epstein was arrested and charged with running a sex trafficking ring. This is, as things go these days, old news. But there is some stuff that has been developing since like 9 this morning, Central Time. So I just thought I'd run down some stuff. I don't normally do this, but I just thought because it's sort of breaking news, many of you may not be aware, and I would just kind of run down and do my public service. So, Epstein has been indicted by U.S. prosecutors alleging he operated a sex ring where he paid girls as young as 14 to have sex. I think you probably know that. He's charged with one count of sex trafficking of minors and one count of conspiracy to engage in sex trafficking of minors, and will appear in court following his Saturday arrest. As of about 11:15 Eastern Time, investigators found, quote, at least hundreds and perhaps thousands of lewd photos during the Epstein raid. In advance of the scheduled bail hearing, U.S. prosecutors submitted a letter requesting Epstein be detained, basically without bail, contending that he's an extraordinary flight risk. In the letter, prosecutors said Epstein cannot meet his burden of overcoming the presumption that there is no combination of conditions that would reasonably assure his continued appearance in this case or protect the safety of the community where he would be released. Goes on, if allowed to remain out on bail, the defendant could attempt to pressure and intimidate witnesses and potential witnesses in this case, including victims and their families, and otherwise attempt to obstruct justice. Investigators said in their memo that Epstein possesses 3 U.S. passports, 2 private jets, and at least 15 cars. What police found when they raided the mansion? The U.S. Attorney's Office provided detail on what was seized. The mansion, they said, is worth about $77 million. They're going to try to confiscate it as ill-gotten gains, I guess, and sites of crime. Prosecutors alleged Epstein has continued to maintain a vast trove of lewd photographs of young-looking women or girls in his Manhattan mansion. Investigators said they recovered at least hundreds, perhaps thousands. We discussed that. Suggestive photographs of fully or partially nude females. They continued that some of the nude or partially nude photographs appear to be of underage girls, including at least one girl who, according to her counsel, was underage at the time the relevant photographs were taken. Some of the photographs referenced were discovered in a locked safe in which law enforcement officers found compact discs with handwritten labels including the following: young, girl's name and girl's name, miscellaneous nudes 1, and girl pics nude. The upshot of this is this guy is probably going away for the rest of his life. That whatever deeds, whatever deals were struck with his prior agreement that got him a relatively light sentence, this has nothing to do with that. This is like new crime. And think of the implications of this. You have this very wealthy guy probably going to be going to prison, not for life technically, but for a long enough term of years that it will effectively be a life sentence. Now, he's an A-lister. He knows a lot of A-listers. What do you think might happen if he tries to reduce the length or the condition of his sentence, going to a better prison instead of a worse prison, going there for fewer years, maybe getting paroled with an ankle bracelet or something a little sooner? What do you think might be his incentives to name names? Not to make baseless allegations, but Trump has come up in association with him more often than once. Trump is actually, I think, got a civil suit against him, or it may have been settled already. But yeah, there are people that are in danger, maybe deservedly so. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. This is, by the way, an open forum. I have a lot of things I can talk about, but talking to you is always my number one goal. The phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738, and you can talk about anything I'm discussing or anything you've run across. God knows we're in a target-rich environment news-wise these days. Okay, this I thought was interesting. This is kind of a local thing from the Houston Chronicle. After supporting the flood bond, Houston area developers want to delay new building rules. Houston area developers, engineers, and real estate professionals were among the most vocal supporters of last summer's $2.5 billion Harris County flood bond, the largest storm infrastructure investment in the county history. They contributed to a political action committee established by bond backers, helped shepherd the initiative to passage on the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Harvey. But for the past several months, this is where it always gets to be like fun, right? For the past several months, many of those players, builders, developers, were quietly trying to lobby Houston and Harris County officials to delay implementation of new building rules that developers say will increase housing costs, but county engineers insist they are needed to protect neighborhoods from future storms. So, essentially, the argument they're making is, hey, we realize that the places we want to build may be susceptible to flooding, but if we were to build in ways that would make homes resistant to flooding, they'll cost more. So essentially, the choice that they're giving you here is cheaper flood-prone home or more expensive, maybe not dramatically more, a few thousand dollars, maybe $10,000, let's say, but a home that is not likely or as likely to suffer flood damage. Now, given that kind of a choice, maybe another $8,000 or $10,000 on a 30-year mortgage so that you can ride out a flood, or $10,000 less on your 30-year mortgage. And if you do the math, that's not a lot of money per month. But, you know, every once in a while, get like 5 inches of water in your house. So this to me is one of the most specious arguments. It's an argument that's always used. It was used for cars. We can't put in seatbelts. It'll make them more expensive. We can't put in pollution controls. It'll make them more expensive. We can't put in airbags. It'll make them more expensive. Did it make cars more expensive? Yes. But because of the safety devices, you pay less in car insurance. You're less likely to be injured or killed in an accident. What used to be a major, even fatal accident now can be a relatively minor accident where you walk away with scratches and bruises. So what's that worth? You know, what's it worth not to have had to go to the hospital with broken bones, internal injuries? You know, what's that worth? Granted, the flip side is there are many people less able to afford a car, less likely to afford a new car. It is worth noting, though, that cars last much longer than they used to. I actually had this discussion recently. Car odometers used to have 5 digits because they were never intended to get to 100,000 miles. By the time they were 10 years old, they were in the junkyard. Now you see cars on the road that are 20 years old, and that's a function of, yes, the car is more expensive, but there's additional value to be obtained in terms of both safety and asset value. So anyhow, I'm going to get with my caller as soon as I get through the rest of this article. I'm sorry I digress. It's what I do. The changes under consideration by Harris County and the city would expand the area subject to flood-related building restrictions by roughly 65% in areas of the county outside the city of Houston, and would require developers to devote a larger share of their properties to holding back stormwater, among other changes. So in other words, it'll cost them more money because they'll have more property that they can't resell as a home or land, and they'll have to turn it into, like, detention ponds and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I understand. It has an impact. There's no question. Pressure from the development community already has delayed a commissioner's court vote on the regulations by 5 weeks, though builders' pleas for even more time have not prevented the Harris County Flood Control District from asking the court to approve the new rules on Tuesday. And the last paragraph of this article, the city of Houston, despite an initial plan to have the city and county jointly adopt the rules in early June, has not set a date. So the city has not set a date on which it will adopt similar changes, said the Houston Public Works Director, Carol Haddock, though she hopes city council will vote before Harvey's second anniversary. The changes would take effect sometime in 2020, she said, to give builders time to submit plans already in progress. So, if you're looking at a new house, pays to check seriously what flood zone you're in. Is it 100 year? Is it a 500 year? Is it what they call a floodway? I mean, do your diligence. Do your diligence. Okay, open lines. The number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. And just to finish up that little bit, kpft.org is how you find out what's going on in the station, on the shows, listen to live shows and archived shows. You can also go to thinkwingradio.com and follow me at Twitter, thinkwingradio. Scott, if we can put you on the air.
Hello?
And you're on the air, Scott.
Oh, yes. Hey. I am wondering what stake I have in this Epstein case. You know, I am principally worried about the harm that an oversized criminal justice industry does to people.
Well, I mean, in a very general sense, I agree. I went to family court 20 so years ago, and that totally changed my view of the justice system.
Oh.
On the other hand, you know, this guy is a predator. And
okay.
He has assisted.
Hold on.
The guy is an obvious predator. Apparently, in some ways, he's continued to be a predator. He knows other people and enabled other people to be predators. And I think it's a matter of justice delayed is still, you know, justice denied, but better than nothing.
Well, no, I think these girls were 14 or over, weren't they?
what I've heard is there may have been girls as young as 12, and most but not all of the girls were under 18. There were a number of girls in their late teens, early to mid-20s. So there was a range. But the fact is that his, and if I may use the term loosely, his selling point for his parties was, you're going to get young girls.
Well, now, does everybody remember how they thought about sex when they were 14? I think I do. At that time, I was not attracted to adults, and I'm pretty sure I knew what I was doing. I knew about classmates. Sometimes classmates had sexual adventures. I don't remember any with adults.
And that's the difference. They were having these sexual relations or sexual abuse situations with adults, in some cases middle-aged adults, older people, and they were being paid. And they were being paid anywhere from a couple of hundred to $1,000 per event. So now you're also talking about prostituting underage children.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about a whole different level of villainy here.
Yeah, there are countries in Europe where sex work is legal.
Yes.
Of course, there are some safeguards.
But not children.
For sex workers
but not,
there that.
But Scott, don't not
exist
children.
In this country.
Scott, not children. Sex workers is one thing, and you can argue about the propriety of it and what age it might be legal, if it's going to be legal, but not children. Now, there are states in this country and in other countries as well where 16 is considered an age of consent. You can argue whether that's appropriate or not.
I did 17 in Texas.
Okay, and some places it's 18, and some places it's 16, some places still legalize child marriage. But, you know, that doesn't make it right.
You know, I belong to a sexual minority, and I am suspicious of what the American general public thinks about sex.
I don't disagree. I think the history of the country has led to a rather prudish culture overall.
Yeah.
That's not everybody, but yeah, there's a significant fraction. I've said this before on the air. I think a significant fraction of the anti-abortion, anti-choice crowd is not about pro-life as such. It's about making sure that if you get pregnant, pay a price. You are shamed to make sure you don't get pregnant, to discourage premarital sex or adulterous sex. It's really about bringing us back to the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, where like a girl had to leave school, go away to someplace else. It's almost like the way it is in some Middle Eastern and Asian countries, where it's not what you'd call liberal democracy stuff.
You know, my first thought was when you mentioned this case, I thought, why should it be such a big case?
Because the children are not of an age of consent, and therefore they were abused and taken advantage of. I mean, it's almost, and in a little more extreme example, it's like going to an immigration court as a two-year-old and have the judge explain to you what your rights are, and your feet are dangling off the chair, and you're probably playing with a toy or playing with your fingers or, you know, babbling as babies do, as toddlers do. But you're in court. So, you know, is that something that should be permissible? Apparently it's legal, but that doesn't make it right. But here we're not even talking about whether something is legal and does that make it right. We're talking about stuff that most of us feel on some level is not right. Some feel stronger than others.
Okay.
And it's illegal.
And it's about sex.
It's about child abuse. It's about child abuse that happens to be about sex. Child abuse can be beating. It can be sexual abuse. It can be emotional abuse. There's all kinds of abuse. This is a kind of abuse of a child, a defenseless person, legally defenseless.
I was abused quite a bit by other boys when I was young, and very little of it was directly sexual. I sometimes got beat up. I thought that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it was, I didn't think there was anything special about sex.
Well, I mean, you were persecuted because of your sexual orientation. You were assaulted.
Actually not because that was a secret. I kept that a deep, dark secret.
Well, you may have kept it a deep, dark secret, but that doesn't prevent some people from drawing certain conclusions.
And some people might, but...
But wait a minute. And in some cases, they're wrong.
About me, but well, I think there's speculation about anybody.
In some cases, people that, quote-unquote, act gay or sound gay are not gay. In some cases, they are. So what you have is people who are persecuted because they appear to be gay and are, and you have people that are persecuted because they appear to be gay and they're not.
Yeah, I am
so,
generally told that
but it's still assault.
I don't sound very gay.
Oh, no, you don't. And, I mean, if I may say. But, I mean, the fact is it's assault. They assaulted you. You could have pressed charges. Somebody should have pressed charges. But anyhow, I mean, I appreciate your call. I do need to move on, but I appreciate your call, and we'll talk again, I'm sure.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Take care. Okay, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. The phone number is 713-526-5738. You can follow the station at kpft.org. You can also donate to the show and the station if you go to kpft.org. Or you can text to 713-526-5738 with the message GIVE. And then you'll kind of get an interactive thing. My website is thinkwingradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at thinkwingradio. There is a definite theme here. I want to go through a couple other things, and then I'll get to my next caller. So, again, while you were sleeping or working, Eric Swalwell is expected to, and I like Eric Swalwell, by the way. I knew he would run. I didn't think he would do well, but, you know, this is a time for him. Eric Swalwell expected to end presidential bid after failing to gain traction. He's expected to announce Monday, which I think they mean today, that he's dropping out of the 2020 race for president, according to a source. Swalwell is expected to make the announcement today at 4 Eastern, so about the time the show started. And he will then have become the first candidate to drop out since the campaign began in earnest. Elizabeth Warren announced, and then I'll get to my caller, Elizabeth Warren has announced that she got $19 million in the last quarter and didn't even have any fundraisers. So she's definitely gaining traction. Okay, next up is Rita. Rita? Hi, Rita, yes. You're on the air. Thank
you. Hi. Well, since you're talking about various topics, I just wanted to say that for this upcoming election, I really think that we need to focus on who's going to beat Trump big time.
I agree.
I don't care who it is. I don't care if it was Donald Duck, you know, who was able to do it. I just think we need to focus on who's going to win if they have to go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump and who will be elected. Now, I like what Bill Maher has said. He said that Oprah should jump into the race, and that would just close it all down. I actually agree with him, but I know that's not going to happen. So
never say never.
Never. And so I, even though I like some of the other candidates, I even like Ms. Williamson. I like her as well. I can like, but I need to vote with my heart as who's going to beat Trump. And the only one I could think of will be Biden. They're of the same age range. They're of the same generation and so on and so forth. I love Bernie Sanders. Don't get me wrong, but I can... You know, I just really feel it would be Biden unless there's a Biden-Sanders, you know what I'm saying? You know, Sanders as VP or some of the others like Warren as VP. Yeah, I think we can move forward with that. But other than that, I just I think we need to all focus on who's going to win.
I agree. You know, I've said that I think that having all of these candidates has been really good for the party in the sense of policy thoughts, policy ideas, things put forward seriously so that are new ideas or older ideas that have been expanded upon. I mean, I think that's incredibly useful.
Exactly.
I had a caller last week. I mean, it was kind of fun. She called actually about an internship and ended up calling the on-air line. And she was a college student. She was 18. And it gave me a chance to talk to someone who's going to be voting in a presidential election for the first time and sort of talking about, well, are you going to vote? What issues matter to you? Do you talk about the issues that matter to you? Have you thought about the impact your vote can have if you discuss the issues in context of your vote? And it was a fun conversation. We talked for a few minutes, and that was cool. I agree with you about we need to beat Trump. I think that Trump raises an existential threat to the country, and or at least the country certainly as it is and as we've thought of it. And I do have ideas as to preferences. I will vote for whoever wins. If it's, I'm not a Bernie lover. You know, I think to use a phrase, it's like Bernie is a noun, a verb, and yelling. You know, and he's sort of a one trick pony. But I'd vote for him if he was the nominee. But I think that there are better choices. I certainly think that if there was a Democratic administration, if Bernie wanted a role in it instead of being in the Senate, I certainly think he could be an effective voice in certain areas. I think that almost all of the candidates could be effective in an administration as effective, strong voices. Progressive to one degree or another, put them in the places. I mean, I think we have a great shot. Unfortunately, I think that the thing that will make it more likely that Trump will be beaten is if we have a recession next year. And that's a sad thing to say. But people apparently looking at the polls are really just thinking of their pocketbooks. And as it's been put by some people, in other words, racism is okay, insulting our allies is okay, putting people in concentration camps is okay. All of these things are okay as long as they don't affect your personal bottom line. That's really a horrible, horrible thing. But it is a reality. It's a reality for at least a third to 40 or more percent of the population. And that's just a reality. So we have to think of that. Okay, you got anything else you want to talk about, or are we done?
No, I'm just going to close it with that. I just wanted to put in my two cents regarding that. So
I appreciate
thank you for the opportunity to do so.
Thank you for calling.
You.
Okay, you take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. All right, we have open lines. The number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Let's see what else I got. Oh, this is nice. I'm sure many of you have heard that the New York State Legislature had been moving a bill to enable Congress to get Trump's and other political officials. I mean, it's not aimed at Trump. You can't pass a law that does that. But they passed a law that will enable Congress to obtain Trump's state tax returns, which are substantially similar. I used to live in New York, and most of the stuff you report on a federal return is on a state return, because basically they just do a percentage of what you did on federal. So Cuomo today signed the bill allowing certain members of Congress access to Trump's New York state returns. It requires New York state officials to release tax returns of public officials that have been requested by, quote, congressional tax-related committees that have cited, quote, specified and legitimate legislative purpose. Cuomo said the bill gives Congress the ability to fulfill its constitutional responsibilities, strengthen our democratic system, and ensure that no one is above the law. The bill itself was passed weeks ago. The bill is seen as a clear shot at the president, but again, not specifically aimed at him in terms of its language. House Ways and Means, this is interesting. House Ways and Means Chairman Richard Neal, Democrat, Massachusetts, said he won't request the state returns at this time, at least, because he feels doing so would harm his efforts at obtaining Trump's federal returns. Just this week, Neal sued the IRS and the Treasury Department for those federal returns. The wheels of justice grind slowly but exceedingly fine. So we'll just kind of see how that goes. Okay, we do still have open lines. The number is 713-526-5738, and the next caller is James. James, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing?
Yeah. Listen, I just want to make a couple of comments. First of all, my comment is that I really believe right now it's too late. Trump's presidency is a reflection of the American mindset and American American spirit. And honestly, if the same, I guess the percentage that put Trump in office, it seems as though the threat is that that same percentage could keep him, put him back in office. I don't understand that. It's the 50% versus 42%. So I don't understand how we could be afraid of that happening again unless it's Electoral College. We're at the mercy of the Electoral College and at the mercy of the same press, the American press, that helped Trump become president in the first place.
Yes. Hello? Yeah, I'm here. I like to give people their chance to say their piece, so I was just sitting waiting.
If we are faced with the same circumstances as got us into this situation, then we might well prepare for the consequences of a second Trump. And that means, actually, it's the American mindset and the American spirit. It's not politics. Trump is just there.
Well, it is politics. Let me ask, if I may, let me ask you a question. I give you the 1 or 2 minutes, and then it's kind of my turn to mix it in. Do you listen to this show on a regular basis? I'm curious.
Not your show. Particularly, okay. I'm enjoying it now.
Thank you. Did you happen to catch the beginning of this show?
Okay.
I take it no. I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. It's just the point I want to make is I do something that I don't think anybody else on this station does as regularly as I do. I routinely take the first several minutes of this show, every show, to talk about elections coming up, when they're coming up, that you should be registered to vote, that you should turn out to vote, that you should make sure that your registration is correct, that you won't face any problem. I mean, I go through generally the first several minutes of the show is harrisvotes.com, votetexas.gov, et cetera, et cetera, because I place so much importance on people turning out. It pains me when we have an election with a 3% turnout. It pains me when we have an election with a 30% turnout. We should regularly be getting 50, 70, 80% turnouts. In the Northeast, in places, they get those. Texas is one of the worst turnout states. And if people insist on staying home, even with the opportunity of early voting in convenient places, if people insist on voting third party as a, you know, a protest vote, you know, a protest vote is a wasted vote. We have a binary system. I'm cool with third parties in local elections, but for federal and state, the stakes are just too high. If you vote third party, you voted for whoever you don't like. It's just that simple. We have a binary system. So third party voters, non-voters, apathetic voters, unregistered voters, potential voters, that would be, all of those people are responsible for someone like Trump and the other Republicans. And, you know, you point out the polls. You know, people look at Trump's polls like they're some kind of crystal ball as to what's going on. But if you look, when you look at the numbers and you look at the margin of error, his numbers really don't change. You know, you can essentially sort of point him at 40%. Sometimes the polls go to 38 or 37. Sometimes they go to 42 or 44. But we're talking about 40%, give or take a margin of error, pretty much all the time. And you know what that means? That means 60%, up to 60%, don't like Trump, and all they have to do is literally show up and cast their vote. And that's what I keep trying to promulgate and encourage anytime I can. So, I mean, going to your point, I think.
What about the Electoral College?
Okay, the Electoral College, I mean, there's all kinds of history about the Electoral College, and yes, it's actually an establishment that's a little reminiscent of the electoral system that Iran uses, which amuses me no end. But here's the thing. While the Electoral College has taken elections from people who won by the number of votes, there's no guarantee that a popular vote will save us from a Trump. You can get that no matter what. People can be misled. The original idea, if you read, and I've had to read a little bit of the Federalist Papers doing this show, if you read the Federalist Papers, the idea of the Electoral College was not what it is now. It wasn't supposed to be party dominated and, you know, just whoever gets the state gets the vote. It was supposed to be a body of wise individuals, men, basically, that if you had someone like a Trump, they wouldn't just blindly vote for him. They would actually use their judgment and decide this guy is a shyster, this guy is a crook, this guy is a fraud, and they simply wouldn't vote for him. That's not the system that we have evolved. So it was really made to protect us against Trump. Instead, it enabled Trump. So there is no system that is perfect. What I advocate, and I'll say it again, I've said it before, is we must have a system with either runoffs or preferential ballots or something else. There should never be a minority win candidate. Any candidate who wants to win and claim a mandate must get 51% of the vote. Paul LePage in Maine, my poster boy, never got more than about 38% of the vote, split three ways. He was a horrible governor. He's a horrible human being. But the vote got split. And that's the thing Democrats have to guard against, getting back to your point, in the 2020 election. Don't be distracted. Don't be diverted. Don't think this is the time for a protest vote. You got to do your job now to save the country. That's my thing. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your call. All righty. We have open lines. The number is 713-526-5738. It is open forum, or you can talk about anything I've discussed or anything that what I've discussed has triggered in your mind about some other topic. Or while you're driving, maybe you see some kind of a local issue that you want to talk about. It's all good. It's open forum. 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Bruce is up. Hey, Bruce.
Hello, thank you.
How you doing?
Good. I got one comment before I get to another point I want to make with your comments. I wonder if the guy that called earlier, I wonder if he had daughters, you know, defending this guy. I know he's innocent. But
Scott.
I often wonder if these men have daughters of their own.
I don't know if he has...
Well, just tongue-in-cheek.
No. It's a legitimate question. I think empathy sometimes is born out of personal experience. No, it's a legitimate question. I think that in Scott's case, what he's questioning is law versus justice. In other words, and it's a thing I've had ever since the 1980s.
That's a whole nother topic.
It is.
The sex offender... comes to mind, you know, wrongly convicted and all that.
Right.
That's another, you know,
but
another debate.
But I mean, I get the import of what he was saying in a very general discussion sense. I disagreed on some of his particular points. I think they were a little libertarian, but I don't think children are knowledgeable enough and wise enough to be libertarian.
Yes, that's...
So... Anyway, we can talk about that, or you can
the
go to
other,
your point.
The other thing I want to bring up, you've mentioned a couple of times, and I enjoy your show. I listen
Thank
all
you.
The time. Listen to KBFD all too much, probably. Is the binary choice of the third party, and I say this to people, you know, it came down to Hillary versus Trump.
Right.
And at some point, I think the DNC has to take some responsibility, and I tell this to people, and I get looked at I don't get good responses when I say that, but the DNC has to take some responsibility for getting Donald Trump elected, doing an end around Bernie Sanders.
You know, I keep...
At some point, they are partly responsible for that.
You know...
In my eyes, that's my opinion.
And you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion, but the fact is, Bernie didn't win as many primary votes. He didn't win as many caucus votes. He was going to lose regardless of any superdelegates. He did not win, period. Yeah. I mean, it's not a matter of the DNC screwed him out of it. You know, they weren't enthusiastic about him, which is justifiable because he was a Democrat of convenience. He is not a Democrat. He doesn't like the Democrats. He doesn't like the party. But because he caucuses with them, he was too important to alienate, so they had to let him run.
Well,
but he lost. Fair and square.
That's, I mean, that's my...
No, it's a fair opinion, but I don't think the facts bear it out.
Well, okay, so I vote for Jill Stein. I still show up and vote every election. I vote for the down ballots. We got our new commissioner on there. I was surprised. Ed Emmett was one of the few Republicans that I liked, believe it or not.
I didn't think
he had a chance.
He is not the worst of Republicans, but he is a Republican. But I think that he was moderating under the pressure of the suffering of the people in his district.
Yeah, but anyway, that's just my take on
that's fine
on the.
I mean, we're all entitled to our opinions. We're not entitled to our facts, which is why I got to Bernie about the fact that he lost fair and square. But people are just angry he lost.
Well, I wasn't a Bernie supporter either, but
did you say you voted for Jill Stein?
Yes.
Now, in Texas, that didn't matter. But people who voted for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, those people cost us.
Yes.
And
the Democrats weren't going to take Texas no matter what.
But they may next time. They may next time.
Well, I guess my point is to conclude that I still showed up and voted.
And that's great.
And I don't straight party vote.
And, you know... You turn out to vote. At the end of the day, the numbers just kind of gel. But I think people need to take their voice. They have a voice. They just need to take their voice like you do, like I do.
Yes, show up.
Show up.
I agree with you on that. And I agree with you most times. I just... and I guess when I do throw away my vote, I know what I'm doing. But it's just... I could have taken Hillary.
Yeah.
Not to be ugly, I was tired of Bill prancing around. Go frame houses with Jimmy Carter, you know?
Well, you know, I think
I'm
you
sorry,
and I...
I'm,
it's okay. You and I have a large Venn diagram area where we agree. We just don't have a concentric circle, and that's fine. That's cool.
Okay, appreciate your work.
I appreciate you, Bruce. Thank you very much for calling. All right, we have open lines. The number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Next up is MOD. MOD, you're on.
Hello.
Hey.
Is it still summer out there?
It was 100 degrees coming in.
Yeah, I think it finally got here.
Yes, it did.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
How can we even talk about... elections? I mean, I know the local ones, the ones that are hidden on Saturdays, you know, the bond elections.
What I call stealth elections.
Those are the ones that really count.
Yeah. The local elections that get 3% turnout.
Yeah. And I just don't understand how they can do that. But, and, you know, you still have folks that are lobbying out of Washington that come down to the larger cities. What's it called? ALEC? ALAC?
ALEC, it's
American Liberty Equality Commission, whatever. Anyway,
I don't know what it's called, but it's obvious it's a right wing commission
they're Washington lobbyists.
Well, but they're basically right wing. They put together prospective legislation, you know, sort of fill in the blanks, and you can use this in your legislature.
Are you saying K Street is conservatives also?
Well, K Street is a street. It's a place where lobbyists are because it's close to government. So I'm not going to say K Street, but I think it's fair to pick out a lobbying group.
Well, lobbying groups are really like larger transnational corporations also, not just conservatives. Like, you know, gave more money to Hillary than Goldman Sachs in the 2000s. I think 12 election. I can't remember where she was running against Obama. I mean, she had a lot of
2008.
The point, I guess, would be is if you have Citizens United can donate to the coffers of Feinstein and Pelosi's and Schumer's and all those people, they don't leave. These are actors. These are lifetime state actors.
Well, you have to remember that most of these people, companies, when you start getting into the stratospheric social areas, they contribute to both parties, and that way whoever wins owes them.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, that it doesn't matter.
But they do favor certain sides. So they'll give to both, but they'll give more to one.
No, when I left the steering DNC here in Houston, I think in 2005 or 6, after Citizens United went through it, I think Edwards did a really good job. I mean, that's why we won the midterm. I think we took the House with Edwards doing all the work he did.
But, I'm sorry, which Edwards?
Senator Edwards that ran for office, presidential office.
John?
Yeah, remember him?
John Edwards?
Oh, yeah. You know, the famous...
I don't recall him being a major factor.
He helped out in the 2006 midterm election. That's how we took a lot of the seat. It was phenomenal.
Interesting.
But they assassinated him on the campaign for presidency. But he did a good job getting the Democrats in the House and Senate. So, I mean, it was phenomenal. But then this K-3 thing came with the cockroach man, Tom DeLay, the hammer.
Tom DeLay is a horrible, horrible human being.
Yeah, so he brought that to Washington. And the reason I just left the committee was because, like they said, over 70% of the lobbying went from the Republican, you know, Congress, the House and the Senate, to the Democrats. So I'm not saying nay on voting. I'm saying the bond elections, the small elections that are on the weekends do matter.
Well, they put them in those places to hide them. They could wait till the generals or the primaries. I mean, they could. They just don't because they want them to be hidden. But let me make a suggestion. I don't mention it much, but I also do have a Facebook page, and you can look it up, Think Wing Radio. It's not hard.
Okay.
There is an article that I ran across from May of this year that is kind of terrifying and yet provocative. And I would recommend whoever is so inclined, go to Facebook, look up my page, Think Wing Radio. This article should be within the first half dozen or so that are posted. It's about this particular economist that sort of may be, in a sense, the evil super genius that has put us on the socioeconomic path that we are on today. It's a really compelling, scary article, which is basically the person who wrote the article wrote a book, so this is sort of a synopsis of a lot of that, but it's
Richard Dent?
No, I don't remember the name offhand. I really should probably do something more with that in terms of my programming.
Okay, but something worth looking at, okay.
I think actually his name might have been Warren, something Warren, okay. I'm not sure. But, yeah, he may be like the ideological godfather of all of these truly horrible policies that essentially are social Darwinism.
Yeah, okay, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll check it out. I've been talking about technocracy and how it's really coming to fold, but I can't walk away from the caucusing and the elections that from New York to California. Bernie was burned.
You know,
like he was
at the end of the day,
and there's over a million votes in California that got lost. I mean, I would say that when Tom Perez came in, when you know Obama was leaving, and this guy, up in Minnesota, a Muslim, I can't remember his name, was running for the chair. Obama brought Tom Perez in his office in I think October, going into that year, and they picked him because he would have done something, I think. But,
well, I mean, I can't know enough about everything to have a discussion.
I know about Tom Perez.
I know of Tom Perez. I remember the race with this Minnesota congressman.
Yeah.
I do recall that.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about either of them to favor them, but
I know enough that Tom Perez was the Secretary of Labor, and he quashed a large class action lawsuit for all the mortgages of the Iraq and Afghanistan soldiers came home, the mortgage crisis.
Yeah, it was horrible. By the way, compliments on using quashed instead. Compliments on using quashed instead of squashed. A lot of people confuse those words.
He's not a good guy.
Yeah, well.
And I think the reason he was put in place, not only because Ellis, or the guy from Minnesota, was going to you know help the Palestinians, you know, be recognized as humans, not to be genocided by Israel, but it was also because he keep the party quiet, and he has. The only thing that came out of his mouth in the last three or four years he's been there, is he likes AOC.
Well,
and
I mean, keep this in mind. Keeping the party, quote unquote, quiet is kind of the same as keeping the party unified. Fractiousness costs elections.
That's what's going on right now.
That's what's going on right now. And it is a generational difference. And I've talked about this on the show. I recognize, I think, more than many older people, that for someone like AOC or even someone in their 40s, or at least in their 40s, it is a different world. Their worldview is completely different, not shaped by things I remember, not shaped by things I experienced. And those things that I remember and experienced are the things that many of the people in Congress
are
functioning on.
When I listened to this Ortiz lady that interviewed her as for an acting job, along with several other that was Justice Democrats, had nothing to do with the party, a platform interviewed these 13 positions that were won last year. None of them had anything to do with the Democratic Party.
I'm sorry, what are we talking about now?
We're talking about how AOC got elected.
Oh, okay.
And she's an actor. She has nothing. Her platform is sustainable development. And not until this actor came in, took that podium for that purpose, none of the existing Congress would touch this thing. Now they're running.
I'm sorry, are you saying she's the actor, or are you saying she was trained by an actor? I don't follow.
No, she was applying for an acting job.
Well, so what? She's a young person.
So
I would expect that she would be doing varying
things.
Anything
cognitive other than 70% or sustainable development, and there's nothing there. It's about populism.
You know, she's a young person. I mean, I have mixed feelings about AOC. I don't think she's a bad influence. I think she's a good influence. But, you know, she's young. She is inexperienced ideologically in some ways. She's certainly inexperienced historically. She's inexperienced professionally as a congresswoman. But, you know, that'll come with age. It all comes with age. I think that as she learns, she'll be formidable.
Okay, I'll leave you with this. So the guy that is the campaign manager for Bernie Sanders worked for Tom Perez in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Tom Perez's hitchman. And he basically helped get rid of Bernie with the colluding with the DNC and the media.
Now he's
Bernie's campaign manager. How's that work?
You know, well, because this is how they earn their living.
Oh my God.
This is how they earn their living.
So I'm a little, you know, disgruntled on the higher end, but on the lower end, I'm not going to quit voting because I'd rather have a choice of building private prison systems like they did in the general election four years ago.
I had a sticker on my car, and I'm thinking I'm going to donate and get it again, that says, if the 99% voted, the 1% wouldn't matter. And that's why I put so much emphasis on voting, because you can gerrymander districts, you can suppress votes, but if the people that haven't voted do vote, that stuff won't matter as much. There's a point where you can't suppress numbers.
Citizens United, Mike, as long as they don't have to disclose the federal campaign contributions, these pariahs will stay there indefinitely.
But for the time being, voting still matters. You just have to vote a lot.
I'm saying that the larger scale, until the next narrative, and that is basically sustainable development, and they're going to push it.
Okay.
You're
going
to be looking not at a Keynesian.
I need to let you go, MOD.
All right. Thanks.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye. All right. We still have time for one more caller if someone feels so motivated. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. A couple of other things I had. Apparently, Amazon staff in, and I'm going to probably mispronounce it, Shakopee, Minnesota, are going to go on strike on Prime Day over their working conditions and their unhappiness with quotas and Amazon's reluctance to hire permanent workers, which of course means paying benefits, permanent workers. Staff at a warehouse in Shakopee, Minnesota will hold 6 hours of strikes on July 15th, Prime Day, to demand less stringent quotas and the conversion of more of the temporary workers into permanent employees. And I got to tell you, this is not a trivial thing. This makes a huge difference in people's lives. The quotas make the work dangerous and unreliable, according to the workers, and permanent work will help create a livable future. Workers in the U.S. have protested before, including a December protest in Minnesota over support for East African workers, but not during crucial sales days. You've only really seen that practice in Europe until now. The company Amazon has declined to comment on the strike. It's not certain how Amazon will respond, although Amazon is not likely to face a major disruption due to the sheer number of fulfillment centers in the U.S. The strike could draw attention to ongoing worries that Amazon is demanding too much from its staff and putting them on a tight leash. There are some horror stories. The company recently raised its pay to $15 an hour, but that mainly came after pressure from Bernie Sanders and others calling for laws to rein in Amazon and others accused of shortchanging workers. Okay, since we're running short on time, I see William as a caller. Why don't we put him on? William, you're on the air. How you doing?
Yeah, do you get the Chronicle on Sunday?
I do not get the Chronicle, partly because paper is my bane, also partly because, on balance, I think that the Chronicle is a lousy paper. But they do occasionally do useful reporting, I will concede.
Okay, well, they had something that was in the flyers. It's called Newsmax, and it says, they do have a website. It's Newsmax.
It's a very right-wing. Newsmax is a very right-wing
site. Yeah, this is, man, like off the charts right-wing. Yeah, it's got a picture of Jesus Christ, and it says tortured for Christ. And, you know, there's a growing persecution of Christians around the world, blah, 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 the dark agenda. Well, now, I've been trying to report the dark agenda, and I know they don't want to have anything to do with the real dark agenda.
You have to remember that they probably paid for an ad insertion. And
No. This is an actual, it's like 12 pages.
Yeah, I understand. Is it there every week?
No, this is brand new. 14 pages.
This was a paid insertion. They probably paid some tens of thousands of dollars.
And the publisher didn't pay for it to be distributed.
Yes.
But anyway, it's got all the usual characters, you know, Tucker Carlson, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, David Horowitz, and, all this fear-mongering baloney.
Okay, but the point I'm making is this was a paid advertisement. This was
actually something that they had to have printed up and paid for them to distribute.
So what's your point?
Well, my point is, I was just trying to get you to see, they got all these different books, you know, Dark Agenda, Capitalist Code, Ronald Reagan, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all nonsense.
Well, I agree. Most of it is nonsense. Most of it is
untrue and fear-mongering
and divisive and hateful and
right. Well, I just thought
all
I'd
those
bring
things.
It up on it. You might know somebody that got it. It's a real piece of work.
Okay, I got to go, William. I've only got a few seconds left, but I appreciate your call.
Later.
You take care. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Keep in mind, kpft.org is how you learn about the station, listen to podcasts and archived shows on the station, and also contribute to the station. There is a thing to donate, hopefully for this show as well. And thinkwingradio.com, at thinkwingradio on Twitter. Have a great week. Thank you so much for listening and calling. It's what makes the show fun. Take care. Bye-bye.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about adults, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This year, let's go green. To save money in trees, the local station board election will use electronic ballots. Members in need of a paper ballot can leave a voicemail for the election supervisor at 510-854-9663 with their name, address, and telephone number. We are missing emails from many members. Please help by visiting elections.pacifica.org and filling out a ballot request form, including the email to which you would like us to send you your ballot. E-ballots will be issued to all members with a valid email on file. Members missing emails will be sent their voter ID and password hidden beneath a scratch-off on a postcard. Ballots go out to all eligible members August 15th, 2019. You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston, Texas, and online at kpft.org.
Hi there, this is B.B. King. You